Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Ha ha, Dell. This is Make Fun of Dell Day, okay? Every day is really Make Fun of Dell Day, but especially today. How about the Rockets getting over on the Heat the way they got over on the Heat? All right? Destroying Pat Riley. He had no chance against Rafael Stone. Oh, how about this? You got Victor Oladipo. Oh, congratulations. The guy that you thought was, you could not wait. You wanted him to stay so the Rockets would keep losing.
Yeah.
And now, look what you got.
Yeah, you'd like to make fun of me because you traded James Harden for Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, and Avery Bradley.
Who can't play because he's hurt.
So what? He won't come back next year, but that doesn't matter. All right.
They turned Caris LeVert. Jared Allen and Caris LeVert into Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. I can tell you yesterday was, this whole time, the idea of this great trade market for Victor Oladipo,
no.
I think even nationally they were falling into the name over game thing, but it is still something where you would hope to get maybe a little more than two expiring contracts for your expiring contract.
Well, and Kelly Olynyk,
And the thought was, you'll get, the Rockets are looking for a young player and a draft pick, like a young core player. This whole time I thought, why would anyone do that for a guy with an expiring contract?
And injury problems. Here's the deal is the Heat had him over a barrel because he said he wanted to go to the Heat.
So Jackie McMullen, I've seen a couple things. I want to get Ryan Russillo and Bill Simmons and Jackie McMullen had a podcast yesterday talking about this. And Ryan Russillo, they talk about this very trade. And one of the things that was brought up, I think it may have been Jackie McMullen said, he's already said most teams around the league believe he's going to New York or Miami anyway as a free agent. So this rental thing, the idea that that Victor Oladipo had this great trade value, he doesn't play every day. His numbers haven't been good. His efficiency numbers are low. And then it's for sure a rental other than if you're Miami or New York. So Rafael Stone didn't really have a lot of leverage, but one of my kids said, was it true? Mason swears. I kept getting emails from Mason throughout the day about the trade deadline. He is so – and he wakes up in the morning and comes and talks to me about basketball moves. But was there ever a deal where Lauri Markkanen was on the, where that was going to be a one-for-one swap for Oladipo? I don't remember seeing that, but he swears that that was the case, that that was – an offer, but I don't ever remember seeing that as an offer for the Rockets. But regardless, I don't believe that Rafael Stone and the Rockets. Go ahead.
Woj was just on.
Here's what Woj said. This is what I was saying. I don't believe that there was ever a lot of great value in when you look at the entirety of the package. When Wojciechowski was on I don't know if it was a show previous. It was on. I think his audio was on from last night, but it was on with Key and Zubin and Jay Will. And Jason Williams said, why didn't the Rockets get more for Oladipo? And he goes, I got the sense after he finished answering that he's asked this a lot and that I think he's frustrated that people don't understand Oladipo really didn't have that much value.
We watched Oladipo. He's not very
good. It was shocking. I just want to get rid of him. Here's what he said. He goes, so he's had a quad injury since last year that has really hampered his ability to play on a full-time basis. And teams are worried about that, his availability. He said, he hasn't been terribly efficient since he's been with the Rockets, which we definitely know that. And then finally he said, he's a rental. And rentals don't typically get a lot back in return. He said, you combine it all. And when it was all said and done, this was the best offer the Rockets had on the table for Victor Oladipo. That's it. In the short term, you traded an expiring contract. A bad team traded an expiring contract, and they split it into two expiring contracts. but they do save, what, $2 million? I don't know what they saved this year with actual money left.
It's $4 million, so it's probably 1.7 or so.
By now.
Yeah, 1.6 okay, so they
you
saved.
You did the math, yeah.
Hey, in the restaurant business, $1.6 million is a lot of money. But I don't know that it was because of – listen, Oladipo wasn't going to be here. Oh, well, he's gone. You don't have Avery Pratt. So what? You know what? Kevin Porter, they said, you know what? We want to start Kevin Porter Jr. We don't need Victor Oladipo. And he's saying it right. What is Victor Oladipo here? What is John Wall here? They're talking about trying to buy John Wall out after the season, and John Wall won't have any of it because he's like, no, I got guaranteed money, man. I ain't taking no cut. I ain't cutting. You want to give me all my money? Okay. But nobody's paying John Wall $40 million a year. So what's the sense of having John Wall here, Oladipo here, any veteran that's not going to be here long term anyway? What's the sense? You want to play younger guys. So Avery Bradley's not there. Good. We don't want Avery Bradley on the floor. We want Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor. You know. So we don't need Victor Oladipo. So, but here's the problem: is when you look at you talked about it the day of the trade. Let's wait now. We don't know who they're going to get with all these draft picks from the Nets. Hopefully the Nets disintegrate. No, none of those guys want to be there after this season,
yeah.
And they all leave.
Hopefully it disintegrates.
Yeah, hopefully it disintegrates, hoping. And the Nets get back to being the Nets, really sucky. But as of right now, with how good they are, if those guys stay there, if Kevin Durant and James and Kyrie stay there, this trade is going to be a disaster because that's all they've got left, because all they got in return – for James Harden right now is Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Dante Exum, and then these picks.
Four, right?
Yeah, and swaps. They've got swaps as well.
Which there's a pretty good chance if you get 1 year where you get a swap, you might be lucky. Because once you go into a funk like this, it's hard to get out, especially if Rafael Stone's not competent at his job, which we got to find out.
Move that he's made that we are lauding is the Christian Wood move.
And that's carried, and that's been a nice honeymoon for him. But, you know, now that you look back and you take a look at everything, it looks like a pretty big failure on the James Harden deal. Because, yes, while you have your picks and they look good in theory, once you start putting names to those picks, as soon as those picks are made, as soon as they actually become players, I pretty much guarantee you that when you add up those players, you're not going to get anywhere near James Harden's value. And you especially know you're not going to get it now that you have Bradley and Olynyk and Exum. I mean, LeVert, and the move was obviously LeVert and Allen. That was the move. Young players who you knew had a chance to be number two or three on your team. That's what you wanted. And instead, you just end up with expiring contracts. It's not great.
Well, the pushback from Rockets Twitter would be the LeVert thing. They will accept that was a screw up. They'll push back on Allen and say, well, the Rockets weren't going to pay a guy $100 million because, you know, Christian Wood's their center. But I would say, you know what? What's the trade deadline for moving Jared Allen? You could have had Jared Allen up until the trade deadline, and he would have been a valuable piece to move.
Yeah.
You don't always have to consider You don't always have to consider it as, well, you got to pay this player and keep him. You could have had Jared Allen, played him, and say, you know what? Who wants a starting caliber center for the stretch run? Anyone? You could have done that. You could have used him to flip for another asset that maybe a younger player who's cheaper you would have to pay immediately. So
again, I think they fell in love with a name. Oh, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert were not names. They fell in love with the name.
I mean, if it's that basic, that's really scary.
That is scary.
Because one thing, you know, and the anti Daryl people they'll try to hang on to, look what he did. And yeah, by the end, there were no moves left. I'll grant you that. But that was after a long run. The fact is, Daryl Morey he'll put Philadelphia in position to win a championship. Will they do it? We'll see. I mean, it's hard. Somebody came at me with the Rockets have no rings under Daryl Morey. Like, Daryl Morey is going to be substantially better than what we're seeing right now. It's just, he understood how to build something up. Flip this, flip that, use this for value, get the most out of this. I mean, this is what, you know, what he had a hard time doing was trying to figure out how to get over that hump once they had enabled James. They were done. They were toast. And he kept trying to do move after move, and the death knell was the Chris Paul contract. James, I found this out. So James is the one who pulled the trigger on Chris Paul trade. It was James. I want Chris Paul. So yeah. They said, okay, We'll get you Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. That was James' deal. So they had to do what they did for Chris Paul. Once James said, I'm done with Chris Paul, that was the end of it. Yeah. Because you also had to give Chris Paul a $40 million deal when you traded for him. As soon as you traded for Chris Paul, you were also trading for a $40 million contract.
Right.
That was agreed to in principle before it ever happened. And the Rockets decided not to go back on their deal for fear of literally having the worst reputation around the league. And so once you signed that contract, you were dead in the water. We know it became Russell Westbrook, and eventually it just kept getting worse. And Daryl's last move, I mean, frankly, the Westbrook for John Wall trade is the worst trade he ever made, and it's not even remotely close by moving all those picks. I mean, that's the move of a guy who just basically, you could tell, said, I'm not going to be here long-term anyway. I don't care. Here. We got to get rid of him, and Tillman wants me to get rid of him. Here you go. I'll get rid of him. What does it take? We want that pick and that pick. Good. Done. Done. I bet you Daryl had his eyes on another job a year out in advance because that move was so anti-Daryl. It's like the worst trade he's ever – like it's not even – what he's good at is flipping this piece into that piece and taking your 20 cents and making it 30 cents. Rafael Stone has taken a dollar and he only has like 15 cents left.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
No, unless he – but I do want to – and what I said yesterday on Twitter when a guy said, this sucks, this whole trade. Let's see what happens with these draft picks. Because that's 80% of this trade. However, the odds are, historically, that you might get – the odds of getting a great player are not good from that Nets pick. The odds of getting a good player are relatively low. If you can get two of them, that would be great. But the odds of getting – I mean, you traded a Hall of Famer, and your best-case scenario, I think, are getting two average players and two – good players. That's your best case scenario with those four picks. And because they're spread out with so many years, it doesn't necessarily mean those guys are all going to be on the same core group. Your fourth pick is like 7 years away from the first pick you get from the Nets because of the pick swaps in between.
Yeah.
It just looks really disappointing when you consider what the end result is for James Harden. And, of course, now Harden's rehabbed his image and all this. Now you look at Harden, I guarantee the Nets could flip Harden for substantially more now.
Yeah.
Just because everyone's on board with, this James is actually, the more we look at this, James Harden is an amazing player and an amazing person. James Harden, I saw him walking small children in his arms, and he pulled a lady out of a fire, and he's also sharing the basketball. I saw him play a little bit of defense and help put a woman through orthodontic school. Like, well, he did that in Houston, too. He was putting girls through school.
Oh, yeah, he did put women through.
Yeah, like, that's nothing.
Did you see him birth a baby at any point when you...
Maybe since he's been in New Jersey.
Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past him to have done something amazing.
Did you see him run
down
a thief and hurt himself?
I wouldn't put it past him. In New Jersey, there's lots of it going on. He probably saw somebody just get randomly sucker punched in New York, because that's what happens.
Yeah, no, that does
In New
happen.
York, in New Jersey area right now. But or in Brooklyn area,
it
but
happens down in Alabama too. Apparently,
yeah.
When you had to run down that guy,
random punching. Yeah. Just random in New York, you just randomly get punched. Now.
Yeah,
7:30 on the subway, you either get punched or your face cut open. That's a New York.
Or if you don't look down before you sit and poop.
Yeah, well,
that happens too.
That actually in New York.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Or a rat, or you step into on a grate and then you fall through and rats eat your leg.
What if the Nets just the Troller Rockets just traded James for like monster? Well, we ended up getting Devin Booker.
LeBron.
Here's what we got. We got Devin Booker, 2 first, 8. Like, what?
Oh. 714 ESPN 97.5. Then we'd have to call HR and Rafael Stone. That's what we'd have to do. Listen, if you're looking for, we're not calling HR on Rafael Stone, but if you have problems with your employees, don't deal with it. You don't need to deal with it. I was with Mike Holly and Kevin Robler yesterday, as a matter of fact. Chris over there, Chad, everybody over there, can't be better guys. I'm telling you, these guys are awesome at what they do. Mike has put together, Mike is a U of H guy. If you're a U of H guy, he was a tackle for Andre and Klingler. And if you if you're a Coug, this is a Coug business. This is a locally owned and operated business. This is awfully important right now. These are guys. This is not a national company. Well, it's a national company, but it's locally owned and operated. So if you're looking for to be local, this is something that's important out there in the world right now. How about our guys right here? Our guys do an unbelievable job. You're going to get personalized service. You're going to get customized service for your business. I'm telling you, you will love what they do at HR&P. You're looking for that payroll. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company over this tax season, over your payroll, over your HR, anything, then go with ours, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, you meant, I think you did say Wall for Westbrook when you meant Paul for Westbrook. They didn't give up any picks to they gave up the picks for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, you meant
Chris Paul and all that.
Wall
move.
For Westbrook. Oh, you meant Paul for Westbrook.
Well, yeah, Paul, Wall, not Paul Wall. Not Paul there's Wall. Been a Paul, there's been a Wall, there's been a Westbrook. All these moves, your Chris Paul turned into John Wall.
Yeah, I know, but the picks went.
The picks went to, the, yeah, and it was Daryl Morey giving up all the picks.
Yeah, right, but you said Daryl Morey, Wall for Westbrook.
Yeah, whoever is getting all upset about that.
But people,
yeah,
it he was didn't make the Wall for Westbrook the, trade. Ralph
I don't care about the Wall for Westbrook trade.
But that's what you said.
Okay, what I'm talking about was all the picks. That Daryl, it was the worst move he's ever made.
That was the Paul for Westbrook.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, just to clarify for everybody.
Yeah, here, let me help you. Chris Paul, they signed him. Once he signed $40 million, the Rockets were over. They were done.
Right.
You just didn't know it yet, but that was literally the beginning of the end. Yeah. Because you had a move, and at the time we said, you can never move this contract. Oh, they were able to. No. You just had to give away all the picks that you had for about 10 years, and you had to take on Crazy Russell. And then what did you flip Crazy Russell for once he didn't want to be here anymore?
John Wall.
And Wall is...
Yeah.
Y'all better watch out. Yesterday was this, right around this time that caller called in. We had the explosion. Leave Lance alone between 7 and 7:30.
Oh, that's true.
That's all. Leave him alone.
I saw there was a little volcano starting over right here. But you did say Wall for Westbrook.
John.
You did say
why
it.
Why is he
John,
trying to...
John, why are you trying
but
to...
But you did, so I just want to clarify. You meant Paul for Westbrook.
Yeah, Yeah,
Philip Bublin.
Caught, y'all know what I meant.
I did.
Y'all know what I meant.
For the first time in a long time, I'm with you on this one.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The first time in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My whole point was Daryl Morey made a move that was so outrageous that my guess is he had his eyes on a different job. Like, he's never made those moves. That terrible move? He is usually the one who's nickel and diming his way up the charts to give away all of his picks for John, for Crazy Russell, who's one of the least efficient players in the league? Like, what? Mm-mm. We didn't like it. The next day, on Jesus, on our parents and on our moms and on our dads and on our children and on everything. Go back and listen to the show. John and I didn't like that trade at all for Russell Westbrook.
No.
We hated that trade.
No, that was
Everyone
awful.
Knew that was a terrible.
That was awful.
But you also
but
like.
But you
had no recourse because you had already screwed the pooch.
Who's got
James,
$40 million? Who's got a $40 million
because
player?
Because James was
they
your
do,
boss.
But now you got to give up four picks as well. It was dumb. It was
James,
awful.
James was your boss. And I really do wonder. Mm-hmm. Like, I really seriously wonder if Daryl Morey was ever really into the James Harden trade. In Philadelphia. Like, did he ever really care about getting James? Because he knew James would have to be the boss of him.
Yeah, right. No, James was the boss of him. There's no question
James
about that.
James was definitely the boss of Daryl.
James was the general manager of the Houston Rockets.
When his career is over, I think Daryl has had a great career. When you look at, I know he didn't win a championship up to this point. He's still got a chance. Rockets don't. But the moment that he can't live down is that James Harden was the boss of him. And he's boss of Tillman. He's the boss of everyone in that building for a long time. And they said, what do you need, James? What do you want? Let's hurry up. Social media, hurry up and put something together that shows James should be the MVP. Hurry. We need to fight with TV analysts about James Harden. We need to get in public spats and fights with them. Like, they just, their saddest moment is going to be the fact that James Harden is the boss of them.
And when he gets a one-year balloon payment to come back here for his farewell tour, he'll still be the boss of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're retiring jerseys, James. We just want you to know, we still know you're the boss of us. Yeah. We just wanted you to know. We're going to do the jersey retirement, okay? Does that sound good? You still like us? You still like us? Are we still friends?
Imagine, well, when James left, he said he wanted to come back here. So what? He just spent 2 weeks trying to get the hell out of here. Why are you, that tidbit about
something
him wanting to come back
point,
here, who
this
cares?
This is why you knew Daryl was done. Daryl has been the commodity flipper of all commodity flippers. Emotionless. The robot. Trade. Bring him in. He's gone. Boom. Trade him. Trade him. Gone. Gone. And then for whatever reason with James, he fell in love. He was, with everyone else, he's flipping these flipping this, flipping
he
that.
He had the
and
second James, best record in the league because of James.
I get it. But then when James is gone, dear James, I just want you to know that you are a special person and you are in my heart forever. Like he wrote an article when he left thanking Houston James, and thanking James.
James, do you love me? Circle yes or no.
Daryl Morey had for years never put it on the pedestal. He finally found the one and then he put it on a pedestal.
That's what I wanted to say.
And he got screwed over.
That was in my heart. I just didn't know how to say it. James put the player on the pedestal.
Yeah, Daryl's like, look, Daryl had learned that lesson. Never put it on a pedestal. And then he found the one. And now the one, like, bye. And he's left with the lesson. What did I tell you about putting it on a pedestal? He learned his lesson.
Look what happened.
He better not do the same thing with Joel Embiid. He'll get crushed by him, too, at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, he ain't doing the same with you. He doesn't have an undying love for Joel Embiid like he did.
If he gets to a finals or a conference final, that'll change Daryl.
Oh, that's true.
Do you think it's just getting that superstar like he had been looking for one for so long since Tracy and Yao?
Well, and not only that, but you know what? James, who knew when he traded for James, James was was off the bench guy.
Yeah.
And James turned into one of the greatest scorers in NBA history.
That's probably it, too. That
look what I found.
Wow. I mean, in a way, this guy is kind of made
me. He's made Daryl Morey.
This guy really.
No, you know what? The truth be told, he made Daryl Morey.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, basketball people knew, boy, what a shrewd move by Daryl. That move made him like, look what Daryl did. In Daryl, we trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how because we of trust James started. Harden, he had the second best record in the league.
And for a guy who's a numbers guy, his efficiency numbers, like Jordan-like, you know, to him, he's the greatest player that's ever played. He's already told you for years and years he's the greatest scorer. And now Charles Barkley's on it, by the way.
That James is the greatest scorer ever?
Better than LeBron and MJ, yes. Charles Barkley, that's his new thing.
I just feel duped because with the possibility of James being traded to Miami, a thing I called him the ultimate weapon, when really I should have been talking about Victor Oladipo that way. The ultimate weapon.
Right.
I'm just a little late. Damn,
honestly, how do you feel now?
I don't. They didn't.
After all of your, all
give it
of
to
your
you
derision,
right now. I'll give it
towards
to you.
Victor Oladipo.
I didn't like it when the trade was announced because it was either are the Heat going to get Kyle Lowry? The Raptors are clearing out roster spots, getting picks back. So looks like they're going to trade Lowry. And then Woj, minutes after the deadline officially allegedly struck, nothing's official if you're still on the phone call, goes, the Heat have traded for Victor Oladipo or whatever he phrased it. I'm like, damn it. And then I looked at, they didn't give up anything. Okay, it's fine. I thought they would have to give up a young player for him or something. When you give up nothing.
Play an old soundbite of you laughing at Victor Oladipo or something.
I'll probably be screaming at him starting on Monday when he's actually playing. It'll be a different feeling.
Well, you will.
He's going to be like James. Ultra efficient. He's going to be unbelievable. He's going to be an MVP candidate.
Well, I don't know about that. But he won't be. He won't have to be the first guy. He's not even he's probably mid third, fourth best player on the team. And the other thing, the Heat didn't offer him an extension. You know, one of those handshake deals, and say, hey, once the season is over, you get the extension. He really wants to play there. The Heat were like, we know you really want to play here because you were approaching our players in the bubble saying you want to play here. That didn't go over well with the Heat organization. Some people were hesitant. That's why they weren't willing to give up anything for him. So he's on a prove-it thing.
He has no leverage. The Heat could offer him 2 years of $20 million, less than the Rockets.
They're not really willing to offer him that until they have the Victor Oladipo experience.
They shouldn't offer him anything.
Nothing until they find out.
At any point will we hear rumblings about Victor Oladipo almost got into a fight with?
He don't want none of Jimmy.
Butler.
He doesn't want any of Jimmy.
No, he don't want. Nobody wants Jimmy. Not well.
Look, the Heat have two, either recent or ascending all stars in Butler and Adebayo. He's got to get in where he fits in. He won't even be the third best player on the team. He might be fourth in that fourth range. So he
we'll
can't
see if he thinks that.
Well, he better learn quick.
Well, yeah, you got two. All those guys got two All-Stars.
Jimmy's got more All-Stars. Yeah,
no, not Jimmy. He's obviously behind Jimmy.
And Bam's a max player, so he's not gonna. On the hierarchy.
Is he a two-time All-Star?
He's a one-time All-Star.
Okay, not two.
That's less.
One is less than
sure,
two.
But no, you know what's sure more? You know what's more? The long-term deal at max dollars that Bam has. The free agent to be that Victor is he will slide right under Bam, maybe behind Dragic. We'll see.
Ooh, ow!
Dragic is
behind Dragic. That's a little disrespectful. No.
Dragic is a lifer there.
That's a lot of talent. Although Jackie McMullen said, you know, the thought was they'd at least get Duncan Robinson for like.
Well, no,
if you traded for Victor Oladipo,
we ain't doing that. And guess what? You still got to get rid of him. So we'll give you Olenek.
Because they got to pay.
Oh, my God.
Because they got to pay.
728 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we're going to talk Carlos Correa. He met the media yesterday about his contract crap, and it's not good. So we'll do that on the other side. But right now, we're talking about hoops. We've been talking about hoops, and let's continue to talk about hoops. Let's talk about how your kid can get. Listen, what you want to play right now is when you're seeing Dante Exum make $9 million a year and this unbelievable money out there. I know your kid isn't maybe NBA quality. You never know. Duncan Robinson sitting there just shooting threes. He's not athletic. All he does is shoot threes, makes $1.5 million a year. You want your kid to make $1.5 million a year? You got to get him a basket, okay? That's the only way to make money nowadays in this world is shoot baskets, shoot from outside. Maybe your kid can be there someday, but listen, when they're young, how are they gonna dunk? How are they gonna make baskets? Because they can't reach a 10-foot goal. Well, they can reach this goal because it goes up and down. You can raise and lower the basket with the Hoops goal. It's the best goal on the market. It's not even arguable. And if you're looking for that kind of quality with the tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the unrustable stanchion, and all the accessories as well, all you gotta do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Best goal ever. It's not even arguable. ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No updates. What was reported out of the 6-120, that was a couple weeks ago. And, you know, there was no conversation after that. It's just we haven't spoken about, you know, a possible extension since then. So, you know, I'm preparing like I'm going to be a free agent this year.
Yeah. Now, it's so interesting how people are reacting here to this. It's Carlos Correa got offered 6 years, $120 million. He wants $8,200 at least, at the very least. 8 years for Carlos Correa. I'm with the Astros on this one. I don't know that I can do it. I just don't know that I can do it. He's a career 833 guy. He's had 2 years over 900 OPS. But he's also, last year he had it was 709. He was bad for it's only 58 games. You never know if he's going to come around. Yeah, we only know. But you know what? 58 games is about three quarters of his usual season because he gets hurt. He hasn't played a full season since his second year in the league where he played 153. So he missed 9 games that year, and that was unbelievable. That was awesome because it was 109, 110 after that. It was 75. After that, and then 58 out of 60 last year, which is good. But, you know, he's a really good player. He's a really good defensive player. He was rookie of the year. He was an all-star in 2017, the year of the championship. But, you know, the year of the championship, But he had a 941 OPS. The next year, 728. 728 and 709 last year. Those are not $25 million a year numbers. They're just not. But the main thing is, can he stay on the field? And there, by, you know, it's baseball. And when you look at when I looked at Lance McCullers yesterday, when we broke down who's making $17 million a year, you go, yeah, I guess Lance is a $17 million a year picture.
We get stuck. Well, this happens every year where we get stuck in our concepts of old numbers, yeah. And you forget sports has gone to insane numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, you know, no disrespect to Lance, but for average players, they get contracts. I mean, Lance is a guy right now getting projection contract. He's getting contract. Hey, we're going to give you this money because we feel like you're going to play to this money.
Right. Well, he's in the neighborhood. Would you rather have Lance or Marcus Stroman?
I'd rather have homegrown. I think there's something to be said for Lance's vibe with the city, Lance's vibe with the community, Lance's vibe with the team. He's a guy who has his hitters back. He's never afraid. If you do something to hit his, you know, unlike Astros pitchers of the past, this is a guy who will protect his hitters.
Yeah, he'll protect his hitters. Yeah. No. Listen, Lance has been great. He's a great guy.
We just
guy.
Want him to stay.
He likes
healthy.
Dogs. Okay, all those things.
Oh, I'm a big, you know, I like that. I'm good.
No, you're good with. I get that.
It's better than having a cat rescue place.
No. The problem is staying on the field. That's what he's got to do. That he's got to do that. I mean, Stroman made 32 starts, 19 starts, 33 starts, 32 starts. I mean, that's a guy that's a lot more durable, and I'd much rather have him on the field. His career ERA is 3.76. I'd rather have Stroman. I know local guy. We know the devil, you know. But I think I'd rather have Stroman. That said, we got Lance McCullers, and hopefully he's going to be healthy for these 5 years of this contract. Are we sure about that with Carlos? Are we positive that he's going to stay healthy for these eight years? How can you commit? I think it's unrealistic, Carlos. How can you commit 8 years to a guy that time after time after time cannot play more than 110 games?
This is the concern, though. Once you get there, Carlos was looking for market value, and the market says short, long term contracts. You know, the market says if you're a player at that age, and Carlos spelled it out in one of his sound bites that I heard. I was a rookie of the year. I'm an all-star. I am a World Series champ. Like, he knows. He said, I've had some really strong playoff performances. He's young. He's got those things under his belt. And you and I can argue the counterpoint. And so his point is, so the market value is going to be, you know, you're going to have to pay on the higher side than you think, and you're going to have to pay a more longer-term deal. And that's probably true. I think the market will bear that for Carlos. I think there is going to be a team who does that. The question is, will it be the Astros? Would you want to do that? No. Would you want to make it fully guaranteed? Obviously, fully guaranteed contracts are very penal to teams and sports. They can be very penal because it really puts you at a disadvantage from an injury standpoint or a performance standpoint. And I think right now you look at Carlos Correa, and I don't think he's going to back off his at all. I really don't. I think the Astros are going to have to play ball or he'll be gone.
No,
and I think they'll play ball. I think they'll get a deal done.
You do?
Lance McCullers should tell you that. Either that or Lance McCullers' money is gonna be a deciding factor for Carlos to leave.
Yeah, preclude you from doing
it. One or the other, they may say, we'll take our chances and see what Trey Turner's
worth.
Here's
why, because going forward, no, I think Bregman can move in the shortstop and you pick up a third baseman. I
mean, do you really think Bregman has enough range, that short arm guy?
Yeah, yeah. Bregman can play short for you.
Yeah, he can. Is he defensively what you want? I think he's kind of locking into that. I like him at third.
I do too. I love. Well, are you kidding me? The left side of that infield is awesome, awesome. With Correa,
they gobble it up, and his ability to make throws from third is just really. Both of them defensively are really, really good.
Well, okay. Bregman is making 20 a year. Do you believe that Carlos Correa is worth that much more.
Not. And as soon as it happens, then Bregman, this is where you could
However, Bregman didn't have to go through the arbitration years like Carlos did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. He didn't. Yeah. So that's a big, big
hopefully
difference.
Hopefully Bregman doesn't turn into, wait a minute, I want more money. Like, yeah, the Astros aren't changing that.
No, I mean, he did sign the deal. And you know what? Bregman could be making, actually, if you want to know the truth, Bregman signing that $100 million deal while he was pissed that he would have to go through the last year of his under-team control. He's going to be pissed when he's, listen, I guess he's going to be pissed. He's going to be, his base salary in 2023 is $28.5. Plus a sign, he's a $30 million a year player in 23 and 24. This year, he's making 12. This year, he's making 12. Next year, 12. And then 30, 30. So I don't think he's going to be too pissed. But, you know, he's gone through, actually, if he'd have gone through arbitration right now, he'd be making more than this 12 probably. He'd be making more than this 12. So I don't know if it was a great deal. And then when he got to free agency, he's going to be a 30 a year. He will get out of this contract at 30 years old, making $30 million a year, Bregman will. They'll probably extend him before this. Bregman will probably be here. Bregman's probably a lifer. But Bregman's got to turn his season around, too. He's got to hit more this year. He's got to be his postseason was pitiful. And that's what we're going on with Carlos Correa, right? Is his postseason. And how much we love Carlos Correa. How much we love... I'm telling you, the Cranes went to his charity event, and they literally, it was tears how much they appreciated what Carlos Correa did with the media for the scandal, with how he defended his guys, while how he took over a leadership role in the postseason. He went up to Fromber and shook him. All of those things that Carlos Correa did, the Cranes loved. Now, loved enough to give him 28 years, 25 a year? I don't.
There's an emotional look. You can't. The Rockets got emotional with James Harden. At some point, and Daryl has always been the guy that you thought, this guy has no emotions. He is a terminator of. He doesn't care who you are. You can get traded in this. And then he fell in love and got emotional. And eventually, it ruined their opportunity because it didn't ruin the opportunity, but it ran them into a wall. Hey, I love Carlos. My feelings for Carlos Correa last year, the Fromber thing, I just can't tell you how much I loved watching Carlos Correa. And you did too, and everyone. Like, man, this is unbelievable. And we felt this for Carlos before in the postseason. There's something about that guy. We wish we saw it all the time in the regular season, but man, postseason Carlos Correa, there's just something that's, you know, he is like a boss in the postseason. And you love it. The problem is, if you get so emotional that you're crying at this and that, they're not. I just don't see Jim Crane and James Click paying crying at an event prices for Carlos Correa. At the end of the day, they're still very much value based. And when I say value, meaning there is a value every player has, and I don't think they're willing to pay an emotional price to Carlos Correa. And 8 years, $25 million, which I've always felt like Carlos would go for. He would be gone for $25 million plus. That's what he would ask for, and I don't think he's backing off of it. The 8 years is tough, man. That's tough because you need Carlos to be good and healthy at least six of those years, if not seven. And that's a lot to ask right now, since you can't even get that on a regular basis. But at the same time, you also would hate to see him go somewhere else and thrive, and know that, man, George is out there. George was, we're talking about a guy who's over 30 now.
Yeah.
Carlos is not.
No.
Carlos is still young. He's still in his prime and I think going to get better.
Yeah. Agreed. Carlos right now is 26. It's the 22nd. It's September 22nd. He'll be 27 years old. Yeah. His postseason, listen, he had, in 2015, a 1,000 OPS in the ALDS against Kansas City. The ALDS against Boston, 963 in 2017, 913 against the Yankees, 817 against the Dodgers. He was not great in 18, 708 and 778. He was not great in 19, 368, 780, 368 OPS. That's bad. 780 OPS, 707 OPS in the World Series. Not great. He was great. Great last year. 1625 OPS against Minnesota, 1754 against Oakland, and 829 against Tampa. He was great in last year's postseason. He had a couple postseasons that weren't great. And especially in 2019, he wasn't very good. But he's got a, you know, everybody, well, what about his postseason? Well, what if you don't get to the postseason? What if, you know, teams are going to go, Carlos is great in the postseason. Well, you got to get there first. It ain't easy to get to the postseason. And if Carlos's OPS is 7-something again, which happens for Carlos, and, oh, by the way, it happens that he misses 50 games as well, then you don't get to the postseason. So you can't. Carlos can't prove it. They were an under 500 team last year. We talked about this on the on our Sportsman video. If they don't get to last year's postseason, are you feeling this way about Carlos Correa? Because you didn't see him in the postseason. He did not have a good regular season, right? You're going to feel like,
we got
whatever,
back to the same
Carlos.
Argument about Correa versus George Springer. And it, for a long time, it was no Correa. And then it was like, no, it's Springer. You have to stay Springer. No, the postseason changes a lot. And we are victims of the most. We're victims of recency bias.
Yeah, he had a 709 OPS last year in 58 games,
and that was with the hot streak at one point early in the year.
And
709
OPS last year, 709. So this is a guy that's going to be 25 a year, 8 years, 25 a year.
But you don't also. But you don't want to lose him either.
No. Okay. Time to talk about your grill.
All right, you guys, we see you. We will, Brian. Sorry, Brian. I'm sorry I yelled at you yesterday. I didn't get my coffee in the morning. Remember what happened with Dell, or something happened where I didn't have my license and my phone, and then something happened, and so I didn't have coffee. And so I see Brian on hold. I think it's the same one I told him to. I think I called him ass yesterday.
You that said was, some other things too.
Yeah, I wasn't right.
That was Brian LSU. Yeah, I don't know if this is Brian LSU.
I shouldn't have done that. I was ugly. I was being ugly.
Yeah, no. Well,
you know what? And I was thinking, when's the last time I grilled? I
said, when's the last time I grilled? Speaking of grill, you said a lot about fire yesterday when talking to Brian.
Oh, yeah. Something about somebody getting set on fire. I think.
Yeah.
Did I? You didn't have to bring that up.
I mean, I'm not going to play it again, but you said it.
You didn't have to bring that up. Yeah, I did say about
in a ditch, hit a
car
rock,
crash.
Set on fire.
That was specific. I did say hit a rock.
Yeah.
I don't know what hit a rock means. What is it, a skateboard?
What? We got confirmation. It is him.
It is him?
Oh, yeah.
What about, at least you didn't drop suck the hole on him.
I might as well have. Yeah. It was ugly talk. I'll have to apologize to him later. I'm not going to apologize to you, though. I'm not going to apologize to for helping you with your fire. And maybe your fire is with a ceramic cooker. So the Big Green Egg, for those of you who are big-time barbecue aficionados and pit masters, you probably already know about it. It's got the air ventilation where you can control the amount of air that goes in, and it can change the temperature of the fire. Really puts you in control. I don't care about doing that. For me, I like the Traeger Timberline where I set the temperature exactly where I want it, and it stays there the whole time. So I get incredibly smooth cooking where it's consistent cook temperatures. It's almost like a convection oven, basically, but with smoke. And it's incredible. You can go from a smoking temperature all the way up to a very high temperature. And that includes with pits and spits and Memphis, which I use, and John uses the DCS. And there's so many different grills going on right now as the spring sale. And you can take advantage of great prices on the grill that you love, the one that's right for you. And the Pitmasters there can help you pick that out. Assembly and delivery is guaranteed, absolutely free. So why don't you check them out for yourself before Easter comes? You get your grill on. That's the spot for you. Four locations here in the Houston area. Truly a one-stop shop. An amazing spot to go if you love to grill and you love to barbecue. That's Texas Star Grill Shop.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Breaking news before we get to the calls here, Edgar and Bryant. Jim Nantz is going to stay at CBS. He signed a deal. He was looking for $17.5 million a year. I was worried that Jim wouldn't be at CBS and making that kind of money anymore, but he is. I actually got to go to his house in Pebble. Beautiful house. He's got the replica of the seventh hole at Pebble in his backyard, and we were hitting shots down there. So it was pretty cool.
I'm sure there's a lot of overhead for Jim, so I'm glad he got that deal.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he got the 17 and a half he was looking for per year, but I'm sure he got himself a nice deal, and he'll be able to maintain that home, which I was worried that he might be out in the cold, maybe on the street. I don't know.
That was a concern.
That was my concern.
You think Jim is going to be on the third edition of Broke, where he spent all his money, some documentary, and it's all about Jim Nantz and how he just spent it all?
Shark Tank somewhere in his house.
He seems
like, why does Jim have a...
He didn't have a Shark Tank.
Why does he have a big Shark Tank in his house?
No.
What does he have, four Lambos?
No. Do you think Deshaun's going to have to sell his Lambos?
Oh, crap. 8:30, we've got that lawyer from New Orleans who's going to join us.
Good, good, good.
To explain what to expect from us. He has actually been on both sides, where he has been the victims who are accused, the victims and the accused. He's defended both. So he knows what to expect. He knows what Deshaun's facing. And I think, importantly for us on a sports talk show and the listeners of a sports talk show, he can help us with what to expect moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did a lot of that with Terry Yates, but yeah, absolutely. We got timetable would be nice, but I don't know that we're going to have a timetable.
I don't know that Terry could answer it or that,
no.
that this guy, I'll pull his name up for you in a second.
So it was good that you sent it to the group here that we were going to have a guest on at 8:30?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember?
Yeah, no. Edgar is here on ESPN. Hey, Edgar, how you doing?
Morning, guys. Double rods.
Back at
double,
you.
Double rods.
Hey. So I had called Joel on Twitch and told him that McCullers was going to get five at 90, and he thought I was crazy. And I said, "Watch, it's going to be that." And I was off by $5 million. But looking at it and the way Correa wants to stay around, and he wants a long term contract, and based on the market value, I would say, why don't we do just six at, 156, he's getting a little bit longer, and he's still in the number. I mean, you think that would be a little bit more of a reasonable price? Because, I mean, that's what I've been hearing around, that, it's not, if he gets to get a little bit higher price, he would be doing that. And apart from that, a buddy of mine that has a really good attorney here in the Houston area basically stated that Deshaun's known about all this coming over a year ago, and that he had approached this attorney to try to see if he could help him. But the guy said, no, that's just going to be too difficult to handle. So,
right. Well, that's a big case.
That's about it, guys. So you have a good one.
All right. Edgar, did he say six, 156?
Yes.
That's 26 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's a million more a year than Carlos is presumably asking for. Do we know what he's asking for?
Okay, so if they offered 120, and Carlos wanted 25 a year, why would they give him 26?
Because it takes off
shorter
the 2 years.
Deal,
the 2 years. Okay, I don't know that. Well, then you know what? Carlos is only going to be 32 at the end of this deal.
Okay,
what
if Carlos takes 6 at 25? Well, which one do you want? You want a shorter deal, longer deal? Is it the amount that you're worried about or the length?
I'm not worried about anything. I mean, I can see both sides. Can you not see both sides of the story? I ain't giving him a long-term, huge contract because I can't trust that he's going to be on the field. And, oh, by the way, I want Carlos Correa here because he is a foundation, a cornerstone piece of this organization. I can want both. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. Now they're up against a time deadline here, which probably makes things move quicker. The Astros know what they have to do. They have to offer a lot more money than they want to offer. Anybody who thinks that that Carlos is being disrespected by a six-year one. That to me is ridiculous, because if you want to know the truth, that's ballpark for Carlos Correa with the numbers. And Todd texted and said, hey, you should explain OPS. It's on base plus slugging. It's a best indicator, I think, of what a hitter does.
All of analytics believes that.
Yes. Yeah. That
Ted Williams was the first one to promote that.
Yeah. Like, it's not batting average. It's how hard you hit the ball, how many bases you are, how many, you know.
It helps with you with runs created, yes, opportunities right, to create right, runs. All of that stuff. Right.
On base plus slugging.
Which shows, do you get on base? Do you hit with some pop?
And how many bases per at bat you obtain with your bat? That's what slugging is. So that's the biggest indicator. 900 is really good. Lance Berkman is a career 930 something, I believe, and Carlos Correa is a career 833. So, you know, Lance Berkman. You have Alex Bregman has his. Let's see. I want to see his stats. Alex Bregman has been great, MVP candidate. His OPS career is 902. He's had two seasons over 900. Lance Berkman's career, he's only hit one season that above Lance Berkman's career OPS. That's how good Lance Berkman was. And but Bregman's been very good. His career OPS is 902. That's really, really good, and that's why Lance Bregman got the kind of money that he did as a young player. So that's the measuring stick, and Carlos ain't there. He's not a $25 million a year player right now, as is. But you know what? That's baseball. We'll see if he gets it. Brian is here. Brian, we appreciate you calling back after yesterday where Lance – No. We got a little out of order.
I was out of line. My sugar level was spike.
No,
was low, either low or high.
No, it was high.
Was it high?
Your sugar
level.
Well,
my sugar level was high.
You insulted him a little bit. Yeah. You got a little out of order.
And then I said things that I didn't even know I said. Right. I didn't even know I said them.
You don't know, Brian came in yesterday. He firing some shots. He took a look through a couple of shots at Lance.
After White Magic had taken a little... Yeah. Taking a little shot.
And then Lance wanted Brian to crash into a rock and burn. But that's... Yes.
They were separate. They were mutually exclusive events.
Well, you wanted them to crash and then get out of the car and then somehow ignite.
I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't.
Did you want him to crash, survive that horrible incident, then spontaneously combust?
Yes.
I didn't even think it through. I don't even know what... Did I say that?
Yeah.
My sugar levels. Yeah.
You're a sugar person.
I was a sugar person yesterday, and stuff spiked, and they dropped, and then I think I may have said something, and I even knew. I even told you guys. You know what? I was a little out of line to Brian. He was just busting balls, and my coffee hadn't kicked in because I didn't have a phone or a wallet, and it's just things that were beyond my control. Yeah. I couldn't control myself.
It was a perfect storm.
There's nothing I could do about it yesterday, and I really shouldn't even be blamed now that I
All right,
about
Brian.
It.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, Lance, if I overstepped, I was more so giving you grief because your buddy went to Strake, and I went to St. Thomas, so I was just...
Yeah, I realized it later. I'm like, that was a St. Thomas Strake thing.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah. I had my friends back. That's all. Well, I can't have my friends back.
Not really. You don't want people to die, to burn, ignite.
On Correa, I think you could give him the 25 a year, but here's how I would structure it. I would give him 25. I would give him 5 at 25 guaranteed. Say, we're going to commit to you for the next 5 years. We'll give you the 8. We'll give you the additional 3 years, but it's contingent on you playing, and we'll even give you 30 for those 3 years. But it's contingent on you playing 130 games. Now, that's not Dusty or whoever the new manager is giving him time off. But if you are healthy enough, we will commit to you an extra $5 million per year if we can see you play more than 130 games non-injury related. We'll give you those additional 3 years at a higher value if you stay healthy.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that's allowed. And
yes, it is.
Is it allowed?
Yeah, by games played. It's not allowed by... by average or by your performance.
Sure
it's not
played.
By performance, but games played.
I would doubt that's...
You can get more money games played or pitchers for games started, yes.
I can guarantee you Carlos Correa would say absolutely not. in his or his agency would say absolutely not.
No,
this
would
is going to
no.
be guaranteed. I don't think that happens very often, honestly, because I don't care about the gameplay trigger.
No.
And it makes a lot of sense, which is why you know the baseballs, what baseball players would never allow it, because it makes sense and it's fair. And the one thing we know about baseball negotiations is the players are the boss of everything.
Yes, it's incentive clause. Number of games started, number of released, number of games finished. Yes, there are
I don't think it's agreed upon very often by the best players, though.
No. Simply for staying on the active roster for a certain number of games. How many incentives on plate appearances? You can do it by plate appearances. Yeah. I mean, that would be one, too. Plate appearances.
Del, did you see how, like,
They won't do it, though.
How professional I was and how, like...
You hit a break right now? How that?
Well, yeah, but...
We can talk about your professionalism once you do something that all radio professionals should do.
We can talk about my professionalism on the other side, because what I did was pretty brave just now. And...
Are you a hero?
Brave? No, I didn't say hero. I just said what I did was brave. And what Craig DeSerf does on a daily basis is pretty brave, too. Getting you the very best prices, giving you the customer service that they do. My wife's going to go in, I think today, and her car has to get something checked out with the emissions. You know how I know? Because I got an email, because it's a system says, I don't know what an email sounds like, but it basically is telling me, oh, your wife has an issue with emissions in the car that needs to be checked out. And so I'm going to send her in there. She's going to get a loaner car. And, you know, that's not just because I speak for them. It's because that's how they do business. You're buying vehicles over there. They're going to take care of you. When it comes time for service, they're going to take care of you. They prioritize you. They make sure that you're happy. They don't have like any turnover in that company. Everyone works there. Everyone stays there because it truly feels like a mom and pop business. And it's out in Angleton, and it gives you that vibe. But you don't feel threatened when you're in there like you do at a lot of car dealerships. When you see the people running up to you, what can I do to help you with this? And what can we do to get you into this car? It's none of that. The sales experience is incredible. The prices are going to be great. Your trade-in value is going to be phenomenal. And the most important thing to me is that you're going to be happy. And I put my reputation on the line by speaking for them, but I feel good about it. Make sure you go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton to check out their entire fleet of vehicles. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.